was beautiful. Give them a minute to get their stands down. Absolutely beautiful. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, and that will be our text tonight. Proverbs 31, Rick and Elizabeth are teaching 175 students a week, and their work, and unbelievable, and doing a great job. They are the couple. He came to me at least 6 weeks ago now and said, look, we'll be here from morning to night, Monday through Friday, all during the Revival Fires Conference, to assist in any way that we can. What a blessing. Amen. And many of you have said something since last Sunday night, and I appreciate that. We'll need as much help as we can possibly get for that meeting. Proverbs chapter 31, let's stand together, please, and we will read verses 10 and 11. If you'd join me on verse 11. Now, our Bible says, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Let's pray together. God in heaven, thank you for what we have enjoyed tonight. Lord, it blessed my heart, thrilled me to be able to say just a little bit of a thank you, express a tad bit of gratitude to the ladies who work in the church nursery. God, thank you for that crowd of servants. And then, Lord, to hear the good music, to sing and be a part of it, and to enjoy the special, I pray that you'll please now come and help us with the message, that the message will be helpful to people, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message, whether we believe it's still the cross, still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross.
It's still
can water down theology, preach a word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet, subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within. It's still the cross, still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross.
But some may say it's man's religion or ancient history. The cross of Jesus still remains the price for sin that sets us free. It's still the cross,
still the blood of Calvary
that cleanses
sin and sets the captive free.
It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost.
It's still the cross. It's still the cross.
that, and I appreciate the good singing tonight. I don't like to take messages that I preach in the school chapel and re-preach them on Sunday. However, I started one this past Tuesday and did not finish it and thought, you know, really, this needs to be heard by all of the church. And so that's what I'll do tonight. So you young people that were in chapel the other day, the first half of the message will be a review or a repeat of what you heard Tuesday. And then, the last half, of course, will be new material. And I hope it'll be a real help and blessing to everybody. I believe this message has the potential to help even married couples here tonight, as well as every college age, young person, teenage young person, child in this room, because it's Bible principle. It applies somewhere in everybody's life. And so let me talk to you tonight about building and keeping trust. Building and keeping trust. Notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And I want to talk about this matter of building and keeping trust. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being here tonight. Help us, oh Holy Ghost of God, would you please come and do that work that only is possible for you to do. Because we can speak to the ear, but there is only one who can speak to the heart, and that's you. And Lord, in some young person's heart here tonight, lodge this truth, create a fire, a holy desire to build trust and to keep it. And I pray that you'll help somebody tonight like that, if not more than somebody. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter is about the woman that we call the virtuous woman. All of the young ladies in the room would do well to learn this lady's attributes and seek to copy them or emulate them in your life. All of you young men would be wise to read about her and learn what truly makes a great woman. What truly makes a great woman. I want you to notice in verse number 17, the Bible does say that the virtuous woman takes care of her body. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. So she pays some attention to her body, gives some attention to her body and taking care of it. In verse number 22, it says that she dresses nicely. The Bible says in verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now look at that, okay? So in verse 17, she takes care of her body. In verse 22, she dresses nicely. But I want you to look down at verse number 30. Look at what the Bible says here. At the end of the chapter, the wise man said, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, a virtuous woman doesn't let herself go. A virtuous woman takes care of her body. A virtuous woman takes care of how she looks. But a virtuous woman understands that is far more important what she is on the inside than what she can do or develop on the outside. And most of you young men, all of you young men would be wise to recognize that as well. The Bible says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. The lesson here is, fellas, don't put the emphasis on the wrong thing. A favorable figure can be deceitful. And beauty can be vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Paraphrase, a woman that feareth the Lord is the one that you want to get. That's the one you want to marry. And if you'll find that kind of woman and marry her, this doesn't mean that, you know, you're so scared of not getting the right woman that you run out and find the ugliest woman that you think is alive and say, well, this is a safe choice, okay? Doesn't mean that. But it just means you don't put the emphasis on her figure. You don't put the emphasis on her face. You put the emphasis where God puts it. Fearing the Lord. Having a life that's honoring to God. And that's what the Bible is teaching here. Now, in this list of qualities that are mentioned here in Proverbs 31, the first one mentioned, I talked about the law of first mention this morning. The first place the word children is used is in Genesis chapter 3. Another good Bible study is the order of things that you find in a list like this. I believe the order of things is important. For instance, when I teach the young men at Providence about the ministry and homiletics, talks about the requirements for the bishop, and the very first requirement on the list is blameless. That's vitally important. Vitally important for any minister, pastor, preacher of the gospel. So I think the order of things as they are listed in the Bible is extremely important. The first the first in this list of qualities mentioned here, the first thing mentioned is the element of trust. The Bible talks about her price being far above rubies in verse number 10. And then the first characteristic, the first element of her character we read about is the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Friend, without a doubt, trust is the most important element in any relationship. Trust creates the strongest bond, and yet it is extremely fragile. It can be broken so easily. And by the way, the Bible is right, as always. The first element or the first quality mentioned is trust. And trust in the husband-wife relationship is the most critical of all elements in that relationship. If you've got a husband that you can trust, ladies, you've got a valuable man. And if you've got a wife that you can trust, men, you've got a valuable woman. That trust is so binding. That trust creates such a strong bond and allows for so much wonderful things to happen in a marriage relationship, but it can be so easily broken. It's amazing to me how strong of a bond trust creates and yet how fragile it is. And when you lose it, you realize just how important it was. And that's the first thing mentioned here. Even when you're a teenager, trust is important to you. I have met with more teenagers than I care to number in 31 and a half years who sat across a desk or a table from me, and they were aggravated and frustrated. I met with a teenager that comes to church here off and on in the last few days. Spent an hour and 15 minutes with them. And one of the things that's just aggravating to this teenager right now is that mom and dad don't trust them. Well, there's a reason for that. There are choices and behavior and actions that don't build trust. In fact, they destroy trust. And the young person was so aggravated and so frustrated because they just so badly wanted dad and mom to trust them. And they broke the trust. And you know when they want the trust back? Immediately. I went back right now. That's true about a man in a marriage relationship. That's true about a wife in a marriage relationship. When you break that trust, you want it back right now. Guess what? That ain't happening. That's not happening. And so as I sat with that young person this week, I tried to impress upon them the importance of trying to build and keep trust. And this got on my mind. I thought, you know what? I think I'll give this to our young people at school. I did, like I said, and I only got through half of it. So I want to give it all the kids in the church tonight. So I'm going to take the word trust and I'm going to build an acrostic out of it tonight. T-R-U-S-T. And none of these will be very long. In fact, I won't say anything new tonight. I will reiterate and reemphasize things that your folks have taught you, things that you've heard from your Sunday school teacher, things that you've heard from this church pulpit before. No, there's nothing new under the sun. But if you'll take note of these things and do them, I believe you can build and keep trust, which is an important element in any relationship. The letter T in the acrostic is going to stand for tell the truth. Tell the truth. I can't think of anything more important. In fact, the quickest way for a young person to lose the trust that your parents have in you is to lie, be dishonest, or be deceitful. The quickest way. Now, if you want to wad trust up in a paper ball and throw it out the window or throw it in the fireplace and just watch it be consumed in a matter of seconds, just start lying to your parents. Start lying to authorities. That is the quickest way to destroy trust. Nobody trusts a liar. Nobody trusts a liar. There's nothing that will cost you quicker than being a liar. Tell the truth. Be honest. Do not be deceitful. Don't work around the back of your parents. Live open-faced and in front of them continually, day after day, after day, after day, after day. Never hiding anything from your parents. Don't ever let a teenager or another person tell you, I've got a thing that I need to tell you. It's very important, but you've got to promise me that you're not going to tell your parents. When they say that, you be man enough. You have enough character to say to them, I don't keep anything from my parents. Amen. Live open in front of them. Don't hide. Don't be deceitful. And certainly don't lie and be dishonest. I was thinking about that good man. He was good for so many years there in the book of 2 Kings. That man called Gehazi, who worked as the servant of the man of God, Elisha. Remember him? Gehazi? Man, he was part of so many miracles. watching Elisha work. Remember when Naaman, captain of the Syrian army, came over to be healed from his leprosy? And he came down to Elisha's house. I don't have time to go into the whole story tonight. And Elisha told him, go down here to the River Jordan and duck in it seven times and come up out of that water. The seventh time you'll be cleansed from your leprosy. Remember how he got mad? Since such a man as I, aren't the rivers of Abana and Farfar, he's talking about the rivers of Damascus, aren't they better and cleaner than the River Jordan? And he started to storm off angry, and his servant said, look, come on, man. Anybody can go down and duck in the water seven times. And so Naaman went down there. You're talking about a captain of the, we're talking about the captain of the host. Went down there and ducked in the water seven times, came up out of there clean as a whistle, went back to Elisha's house, had those clothes, had the gold, had the silver, and he said, man, I'm clean. Listen, take the gold, take the silver, let me give you this stuff. Remember that? And Elisha said, sir, I don't need anything from you. I want nothing. Gehazi standing there the whole time. And Naaman left to go back to Syria. And Elisha went about his business. And Gehazi got greed in his heart, materialistic. And he went after Naaman, and he told so many lies. And Naaman, they said, hey, Naaman, that servant's coming. So here comes Gehazi and said, what do you need? He said, well, you know, some things have happened back at the house. Man, after you left, some Bible college students came by. That's what he said. He said, we had some sons of the prophets come by. Don't have any money. Don't have any clothes. And Elisha's wondering if I could take some of that money and take some of those clothes and have it for the Bible college students. And Naaman said, sure, take this. Gave it to Gehazi. Gehazi took it right home, put it in his house. Then later on showed up back at Elisha's house like everything was just fine, you know, and hung around a little bit. And Elisha says, well, Gehazi, what are you doing? Oh, not much, sir. Just taking care of business. Where you been? I haven't been anywhere. Been taking care of business. Boy, Elisha said, went not my heart with you? See, the Spirit of God had already told Elisha what Gehazi had done. Kids, you wonder sometimes how your parents have eyes in the back of their heads. They don't have eyes in the back of their heads. They got a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God lives within them, who happens to know everything. And I'm not saying he comes in some mysterious ways, your child stole. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the Holy Ghost can put questions in the mind of a parent. And the parent can begin to ask questions that lead to more questions, that lead to more questions to get you. And you thought, my goodness, they've been following me around all day. No, they haven't been following you anywhere, but the Holy Spirit of God has. And Gehazi lied, and Elisha said, went not mine heart with thee when you went to Naaman? Said, man, you took my, you know what he was saying? He's saying, you took my trust. Squashed it. I trusted you. And I searched in the Bible this week. The Bible says that Gehazi went out from his presence a leper. And the Bible never mentions Gehazi and Elisha together again. Now, you'll find Gehazi mentioned later, but he's in the king's palace. He's working for the king at the king's palace. Or he's out in some leper colony. I don't know where he is, but he's not with Elisha. That cost him his position of servant for the man of God. Now, young people, listen very carefully. If you want to destroy your parents' trust in you, you won't find any quicker way to do it than turn into a liar. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You know, Jesus identified the devil pretty clearly. In John chapter 10, he said that Satan is a liar and there is no truth in him. None. He said he is the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of it, meaning the father of lying. And there is no truth in him. And there isn't. And the devil comes and he induces you to lie. And as he tempts you to lie to your dad and you to lie to your mom, or a man to lie to his wife, or a wife to lie to her husband, he lies. And then you know what Jesus went on to say? He went on to say the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what the devil does through lying. He tempts and induces you to lie to your parents. And when you lie to your parents, he steals the trust and he kills the confidence and he destroys the comfort of a relationship where parents trust their children. And if you don't think that's a comfortable existence, just wait till it's gone. As soon as it's gone, you're going to find out how comfortable you had it when mom and dad trusted you. And how uncomfortable it is when they don't trust you. And it's all because the devil tempted, induced you to lie. And instead of just taking the punishment and facing it like a person of character, you lied to dad, lied to mom. Now it's exposed. And now the trust is stolen and the confidence is killed and the comfort is destroyed. And that's exactly what Jesus said he does. To a T. Tell the truth. And if your parents get on you about lying and don't give you any leniency, and don't give you any room for margin for error when it comes to lying, you got a set of parents who love you. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. The letter T stands for tell the truth. Next, the letter R stands for remember your words and your promises. Remember your words and your promises. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence or trust in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Think about it. Those are two things that are just miserable. A broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now look. If you tell your parents you are going to do something, do it. If you tell your parents you're going to be someplace, then be there. Some of you are going to come of age where you can start get a driver's license and you start learning how to drive a vehicle, and then you go on the insurance, and pretty soon, you know, if mom or dad need something from town or they need you to run from the grocery store, they'll say, you know what, would you run into town and pick, and you start getting privileges of driving a vehicle in and picking up a gallon of milk or going to the store, going to do something for mom, running by the library. And when you get those privileges, when you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. And when you say I'm going to go right here, go there. And when you say I'm not going to go anywhere else, don't go anywhere else. Remember your words and remember your promises. Do what you say. Be a person of your word. Jack Hiles is not an unfamiliar name to anybody, hardly, in this auditorium. I was at his school for 4 years. And when we got ready, when I came here, got ready to build this first building, this auditorium right here. Some of you have heard this story. I wrote Brother Hiles a letter, and I said, Brother Hiles, you've been all over the country, and you've seen umpteen church buildings, and we're getting ready to build down here. I would love to spend, if I could, on the phone with you, 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, if I could maybe come see you or spend some time on the phone with you about our building project. I would really appreciate it. So I sent the letter. One day I was in the office, and Pam was the secretary back then. She intercomed. She said, Mrs. Irma McKinney is on the phone. Mrs. McKinney was Dr. Howe's longtime secretary. So I answered the phone. Ms. McKinney, how are you? Fine, Brother Terry. How are you doing? Doing good. I said, listen, Brother Howe's got your letter about your building. He's down in southern Indiana on Thursday night. He's traveling back Friday morning. He would love to drive over and spend a little time with you in Bourbonnais about your building. Will that work? Will that work? That will work. Yes, that will work. All right, so we'll make that work. She said, how does 9 o'clock sound? I said, that'd be wonderful. So, man, I got the office about where Brother Abraham's office is now, got the table set up, got all the plans spread out up there, got some notepads, some paper and pen in case Brother Howes wanted to make any notes. And I was sitting up in the office, and I was looking over some questions that I wanted to ask him, some things I wanted to talk to him about. And it got about 5 minutes till 9, and I heard the phone ring, and Pam answered it. And she intercomed. She said, Brother Howes on the phone. So I picked up the phone. I thought, oh boy, something's happened. He said, Brother Terry, he said, over here on Highway 114 east of Moments, I hit some construction, and I realize I'm not going to get to Bourbonnais on time. I'm going to be about 5-10 minutes late. Can you wait for me? Now, folks, listen very carefully. He did not have to call me. I would have sat in that office and waited on him probably for an hour without ever thinking about leaving. And a man his age and his stature didn't need to call a man my age and my stature and say, I'm going to be 5 or 6 or 10 minutes late. But you know why he did that? Because he was a man of his word. He was a man of character. And if you will develop that kind of relationship with your parents, if you will do what you say, be where you're supposed to be, go where you're supposed to go, remember your words, remember, look, if you tell Dad, Dad, don't worry about the garbage, I'll get it out tonight, then do it. If you tell mom, don't worry about the dishwasher, I'll get it taken care of tonight, then do it. Be a person of your word. You know, the saying in the old days in this country was this, a man's word is as good as his bond. We went out and saw Joyce's dad. He had a stent put in. So we went out on the Friday and we visited out there and we got to see Allen Abbey. And so we were out there, and John was just talking. So Allen, he said, you know, and he was a little fretted. He said, I'm thinking about moving my bank down here to Burlington. Now, he's been at the Farmers Bank up in Kelowna, Brother Maxwell. You know Farmers Bank there, Farmers Trust and Savings Bank. Been there, I don't know how many years. And I said, really? I said, what's he said, oh, so many things are changing up there. He said, you know, Terry, he said, man, he said, back when I was on the farm, he said, I needed a pickup. He said, I walked into the bank, and the lady behind the desk said, can I help you, John? He said, I need to talk to Mr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so came out of the office, and he said, John, what do you need? He said, I need to buy a pickup. He said, he said, I need X amount of $1,000, and I can't pay you anything for 4 months, but I'm going to be getting this, and I'll take care of this, and I'll have it paid off at such a time, but I need to buy this pickup. And the man turned to the teller and said, okay, write John the check. He never signed one paper. He never signed his name to one paper. He walked out of there with the check, bought the pickup truck, paid it off before he told the man he was going to. And brother, you tried to borrow any money at the bank lately? You wouldn't get writer's cramp. They'll bring the writer's cramp. Sign here and 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 sign here. There was a day in this country when the men of this country, their word was so good, they didn't need to put their signature on a piece of paper. Oh, for those days again. Huh? Now, if they put their name on the paper, it don't mean anything. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't have to be that way among God's people. And it doesn't have to be that way among God's kids. And it doesn't have to be that way in your relationship with your mom and dad. If you want to build trust and keep it, be a person of your word. Do what you say you're going to do. Be where you say you're going to be. Tell the truth and remember your words and promises. The letter U in the word trust, T-R-U. The letter U stands for understand the challenge. Understand the challenge. Now, trust must... Here's the challenge, young person. This is where some of you missed the boat when it comes to this matter of trust. Wise parents do not blindly give their children trust. I said blindly. Trust must be earned. It must be earned. That's the challenge. Now, we live in a society dominated by welfare thinking. I'm entitled to this, and because I'm an American citizen, I'm entitled to it. And so you give it to me because I'm here, and I live here, and I'm entitled to that. That's the mentality that's plaguing our country today. And it's trickled down to even our young people with the attitude that just because you're in the home, you deserve your parents' trust. Well, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. No, understand the challenge. The challenge of building and keeping trust is you have to earn it. Earn it. Work for it. And friend, you'll find something to be true. Anything you earn is always more precious to you than things that are given to you. Always. Anything you work for and you buy with your with money that you've earned with your own hands through your own toil and labor, you'll always care for it more so than if somebody just gives you something. And the wise dad and the wise mom just aren't going to hand over. And by the way, parents, I mean that. If you're blindly trusting your son and your daughter, you're not very smart. Have you forgotten what you were like as a kid? Trust needs to be earned. And, you know, I have heard some parents make the biggest boasts about, oh, trust my kids. And there are things going on with their kids I wouldn't even tell. I'm not going to tell them. They don't ask. You don't just blindly trust your children. Trust must be earned. You just don't hand it to them. They have to earn it. The only thing that you can't earn is salvation. That's the gift of God. But anything else and everything else on this earth that is developed between humans that is earned is more valuable than if somebody gave it to you. And the challenge for you to understand is that you're going to have to earn trust. And once you realize the challenge of earning trust, you'll be very careful with it. You'll respect it enough not to easily break it. So understand the challenge, young person. Growing up in a home with a good dad, a good mom, I want them to trust me. And by the way, you want them to trust you when you turn 16. You want them to trust you when you turn 17. You better start when you're 7 and 8 and 10 and 11 and 12 and earn it. And if you think you're going to be a goof-off and a clown for 15 years and then just turn a switch at age 16 and say, hey, Dad, hand me the keys. You got a wise dad. That's not going to happen. Earn it. That's the challenge. You need to understand nobody is just going to hand you trust. You must earn it. That's the challenge. Understand the challenge. Letter S in this word trust, I like this one, is stay steady. Stay steady. Now, I like Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28. I like it and I don't like it because it steps on my toes. This is what the wise man said. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that has no rule over his own spirit. Now look, nobody would choose to live in a city that had no walls, that had broken down walls. There's a lack of confidence, a lack of trust that they would be safe to live in a place like that. So it is with a person who has no rule over his own spirit. Ruling your spirit means that you don't let circumstances or external events control your attitude. You stay steady. Every time you lose your temper and say dumb things and act in crazy ways, you're doing damage to trust. Stay steady. Every time you fly off the handle, stay steady. Every time you pout when things don't go your way, it costs you in the area of trust. Stay steady. Rule over your own spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you control your attitude. Control your spirit. Be even, if you will. Now, everybody's not going to live on a level plane just like this. We're all going to have highs and lows. But I want to tell you something. When you're way up here, when things are going your way, and then you're way down here when things are not going your way, that's not steady, and that's not going to help build trust in the relationship. There's no trust there. I can't depend on it to be steady. So you want to stay steady and let the Spirit of God rule your spirit. Now I come to the last letter in the word, the letter T again, T-R-U-S-T. This last T stands for take the time necessary. Take the time necessary. Now look, I understand that trust can be given pretty quickly. Sometimes you walk into a room, you meet a doctor for the first time, and you hit it off, and immediately you trust the doctor. Trust can be given pretty quickly. That's not always wise. And sometimes trust is hard to break, but there is some mistake in that as well. Now listen, I'm mainly speaking tonight about relationships where trust has never been broken, and maybe someone was never broken, and somebody broke the trust that existed. The one who broke the trust must know that it takes time to earn it back. Look, you cannot demand that someone trust you. There is a difference in demanding something and commanding something. You're not going to say, trust me, and demand it. But if you will pay the price and take the time necessary, you'll command it. You'll earn it. But it's going to take time. And if you lie, or you're not a person of your word, your mom and dad catch you somewhere where you're not supposed to be, and that trust is broken, and then you get aggravated and fretted because a week later they say, well, they won't let you do something. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, Buster. Nobody's going to change that. It's going to take time. Slowly, day by day. You can't put that kind of constraint on a person. You can't put that kind of constraint on your parent. You can't do that. Trust. trust me. You're not going to demand it. You're not going to put that constraint on them. But slowly, day by day, week by week, and the days turn into weeks, and the weeks turn into months, and over time, you can reestablish that trust. But just decide, I'll pay the price to take the time necessary. Now, the person who doesn't pay any attention to this tonight, you have trust right now in the relationship with your parents, or maybe you have trust in the relationship with your husband and wife. I'll tell you something. As soon as that trust is broken, as soon as it's gone, you realize how incredibly important it is. It's vital. And I want to say to some teenagers, young people, maybe parents, maybe spouses, husbands or wives that have broken trust, you're trying to earn it back, you're going to have to persevere. 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 It's like the story of the two frogs who fell in the can of cream. Plop. And they came to the surface of that can of cream about halfway up, two-thirds of the way up. They had cream all over their eyes. And one old frog just decided, you know what? We ain't never getting out of here. And he just gave up and sunk to the bottom of that can. Drowned. The other frog, blinking the cream out of his eyes, he thought to himself, well, I'm still breathing. At least I can dog paddle and kick. So he began to kick and kick and kick. And he just said, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking. And he just kept kicking and churning and kicking and churning and kicking and churning. And pretty soon he found himself on top of a can of butter. And he hopped out and carried on with his life. You broke trust with mom and dad. And now you're just throwing, I don't care. You're a frog that sinks in a can of cream. But if you've broken trust with mom or dad, or you've broken trust with your spouse, and you'll just get busy trying to do your best, take the time necessary to re-earn that trust, one of these days you'll find that old cream's turned into butter, you'll jump off and rebuild the trust in that relationship. And buddy, there is nothing more wonderful and being able to trust your children, your spouse. It's the first element that's mentioned in this lady's life. In any relationship, it's the most critical element. Where's the level of trust between you and your parents tonight? Where's the level of trust between you and your spouse tonight? Tell the truth. Remember your words and promises. Understand your challenge, it must be earned. Stay steady and take the time. Trust. You'll be glad you did. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Very simple, practical message tonight. I hope it was of help and blessing to you. Would there be anybody here tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. A fellow sang the song about the cross a little bit ago, the cross of Christ, where Jesus paid the debt of our sin. Anybody here tonight not sure that you're saved? Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? All right. Anybody here tonight needs to be baptized in obedience to Christ? Anybody putting that off and you need to be baptized? Will you raise your hand? All right. Who would say tonight, Pastor, at some point throughout what was said tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I'm afraid that in some ways I need to build trust, or I want to keep trust in my relationship with my parents, my spouse. But something that was said tonight was a help to me, a challenge to my heart. Pray for me in this area. Would you raise a hand, please, tonight? We pray for you. That's wonderful. Take your hands down. Heavenly Father, would you please bless the message tonight to our hearts? Thank you so much for your word and all that it teaches us. Help us, Lord, to build and keep trust in our relationships with each other in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing.